I'm Mark Bayshore. This is Current State on WKAR. Last week, we heard on this program from two Meridian Township critics of a planned bus rapid transit system running between Lansing and Okemos. Lansing's Capital Area Transportation Authority, CATA, has a shot at more than $130 million in federal and state money earmarked for just such a system. It would create dedicated bus lanes and significantly alter intersections and traffic patterns. Supporters, including our next three guests, say the BRT would allow faster, safer travel down Michigan and Grand River Avenues and be a boost to the local economy. But critics, particularly in Meridian Township, have ongoing problems with the design, costs, and suitability of the project, and they complain that CAT is not responding to their concerns. We will hear the views of three BRT supporters here this morning. Bob Swanson is the vice chair of the CAT Board of Directors. Bob, welcome.
Thank you, Mark.
Sean Hammond is the founder of the grassroots organization CATS, Capital Area Transit Supporters. He's also deputy policy director at the Lansing-based Michigan Environmental Council. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you, Mark.
And Joe Ross is an East Lansing business owner who supports the BRT. Joe Ross, welcome.
Glad to be here.
We'll get into the broader reasons that you support the BRT, but first let's address resistance here that's coming out of Meridian Township. Last week, we had two opponents from Meridian here on Current State, one of them a township official, Clerk Brett Dreyfus, and he claims that CATA continues not to provide answers to the questions and concerns of some number of Meridian Township residents. After attending a public meeting with CATA last week, he said he was extremely disappointed. Here is why.
The main problem was that CATA knew many of the top questions that have been asked repeatedly. Key issues about the potential benefits of having a center running a BRT, about problems with no left turn, about the impact on businesses, about the impact that it might have on people with disabilities to have to cross Grand River, many, many issues. And none of those were actually addressed. We spent the majority of the meeting was spent trying to get people to vent their questions in the audience. There was an hour and a half available for the meeting, and an hour and 15 minutes was spent going around the audience and repeating questions that have been asked for 6 months.
So, Bob Swanson, I'll direct my first question here to you. Some number of township residents clearly don't feel their questions have been answered by CATA. From your perspective, what's going on here?
Well, I think you have to understand this has been a long process in terms of the development of the BRT. CATA started looking at it internally 7 years ago. The last 3 years, there's been a large number of opportunities for public input, a whole series of charrettes, public meetings, and yet in a big project like this, in a complex project, people don't always notice what's happening. And I think as the project gets closer and closer, and we still have a ways to go, we're only 30% designed, but as the project gets closer and closer, people suddenly realize or become aware of the project, and maybe they missed those opportunities for input. You know, a lot of people didn't come, and they're feeling maybe they're a little bit behind in terms of what's happening and how it's going. We have had at a lot of different meetings the opportunity to address some of those specific concerns. What we were trying to do in the meetings last week, the two that we had in Meridian Township, was to get out on the table the questions and concerns that people had. Everybody who attended those meetings is going to get written responses to those questions that were laid out last week, so they'll have them right in front of them. That'll be happening very soon.
Was it CATA's intention to answer the questions at that time, or was the plan all along to get back to them later?
I think that it depended on how the meeting went. We had a lot of people turn out. There were lots of questions to get out on the table.
Gotcha.
We did get into some discussion, and we did have some of our consultants there, the traffic engineering specialists who really understand and has helped design the project to this point. But there were a lot of people there who wanted to get their questions out on the table, and so we'll get back with everybody and written responses to them.
Well, we'll return in a minute to a few specific sticking points for these critics in Meridian Township, but I do want to give you a couple of you a chance here to go back to square one, I guess, if you will, and make the case for this more broadly. Sean Hammond, what makes Lansing and East Lansing and Meridian Township right for a BRT line?
Well, Mark, the big thing is we're already at capacity on the number one line that serves these main that main corridor. As we're seeing this grow, we're seeing more and more development along Michigan Avenue corridor. You can see high rises going up every day now, especially that new one in Frandor went up real quick. But we're already seeing max capacity on a lot of these one buses, leaving people at bus stops, which is going to be really, which is threatens jobs and getting people there who don't have any other form of transportation. And really, you can't just add another bus to this route at this point. We're already at every 10 minutes or so, cutting it down to every 6 or 7 minutes would completely make traffic a nightmare.
You'll also hear people say, though, that it's also, and this a lot of this is anecdotal, but it's not that hard to hear people say, hey, I see a CATA bus go by and it's half full or it's mostly empty or things like that. Joe Ross, any thoughts on that? I mean, you've got a business on Route 1,
yeah,
correct?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because it's a misnomer. I mean, I've got we have 7 people that you know, most mornings are making their way to our little company in East Lansing, and they a lot of them use that corridor going down Grand River to Michigan Avenue, and they all tell me about the fact that it's a little ridiculous now, and every year it gets a little worse. They have to leave like 45 minutes early because during peak times in the morning, that's when those buses are full, and during peak times in the evening, that's when they're full. So, you know, if you look at them at noon or you look at them at 2 o'clock, no, you'll see some buses that are half empty.
Bob Swanson, let's come back to you. I was not at either of the public meetings last week, but I've spoken to several people who were. One of the biggest concerns among skeptics right now, I know, is how emergency vehicles are going to make turns. A lot of this is about turns and U-turns. Apparently, emergency vehicles in particular need a lot of room. What do you know about that? Is the design right now, does it not accommodate U-turns for emergency vehicles?
That's an issue that we're constantly working on. We've had meetings with emergency responders, and we will continue to do that. It's been done in other communities, so we know that it's possible to do. There are techniques for doing it. There are medians that are built specifically to allow emergency vehicles like ladder trucks and such to cross right over the median. And we haven't fixed a solution to this. As I said, we're 30% designed. We've got a ways to go. That's one of the issues we'll continue to work with the emergency responders about. But it's certainly an issue that's ongoing, and it's one that has been across the country and will be, in this case, designed into the project.
It is true, though. Well, confirm or deny this for me, Bob. Isn't it true that township fire officials and designers agreed that the design at one time, if not right now, the design did not allow emergency vehicles enough room? There was consensus on that at one time, wasn't there?
I really don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
I know there've been ongoing dialogue about it. It's hard to say the design didn't allow for it because the design is something that's an evolving thing.
The concept is,
we need to be able to make those left turns and to cross the median or make the U-turns. And how do we make that work? That's where we are in the process right now.
And this is one of the proponents' major messages, if I understand this correctly, and that is that the design is 30% done, you say, and apparently 70% yet to be designed. You say there's time in the process to accommodate the design changes that need to be made. Are you all agreed on that?
Well, absolutely. There's time. This is part of the whole process of engaging people. It's ironic, Mark, that we hear two things often from opponents. One is that the project keeps changing, and it's a moving target. It's not a specific project.
It's to accommodate the changes the critics want.
We've got lots of changes we want to get in. Well, the reason it has it has evolved. It's now $26 million cheaper than under estimates than it was when we first started, because we have that 30% design done. We know a lot more. We're going to obviously know more the more that gets designed. But the project has changed because we've listened to input. We've done the studies. We've had the traffic engineers do the traffic studies and analyses. And it's changed. And it can and will change as we go forward with the rest of the design phase. And that's one of the things we've said to people in Meridian Township and elsewhere. We had a meeting last Friday with the disability community to talk about issues. As people have issues and concerns, and there are still problems to be addressed, we're working on solutions to that, and we want to hear from people about it.
Bob Swanson is vice chair of the CATA Board of Directors. We're also joined by Sean Hammond, founder of the grassroots organization CATS, Capital Area Transit Supporters. Joe Ross is an East Lansing business owner who supports the BRT, the Bus Rapid Transit Plan, that is taking shape for Route 1, put together by CATA between Lansing and Okemos. Let's deal with the concerns of the disabled community, and I'll direct this to whomever is most qualified to address this. There have been concerns about people with disabilities getting to the buses themselves, because the buses will be going down the middle of Grand River or Michigan Avenue. Are those concerns justified?
Well, you know, right now we see some issues on that corridor, especially in Meridian Township as it is. You see there's not really any place to cross between Hagedorn and Okemos Road. There's very limited ability to even cross the road. So you end up with people who can't cross the road safely riding the bus all the way down to one end and turning around and coming back. Putting it in the median with signalized crossings that are advanced crossings at this point going in, and they'd be some of the latest and greatest technology for safe crossings. And you would have that ability to safely cross with a button across the median and board the bus without having to step up on the bus, without the bus having to kneel. It's the level boarding platforms. So ultimately, this is going to be much more accessible without having to worry about crossing the really dangerous corridor between Hagedorn and Okemos Road, where there are really no opportunities to cross that five-lane road.
I know some of your harshest critics are saying that the plan, at least as it currently exists or did exist at one time, doesn't comply with the Americans for Disability Act. Would you take issue with that, Bob?
Yeah, I would take issue with that. The planning for this, and it's, as I said, still ongoing, is to absolutely comply with all the provisions of the ADA. One of the things, and Sean just mentioned it, allowing the crossing of Grand River only at signalized crossings is a great improvement in terms of safety. And there are ways working under the ADA and with the disability community to make that crossing even safer. Tactile use of the crosswalk so you can feel where it is. Speakers that tell you when you can cross and how much time you have left to cross. They have some of those in East Lansing right now, but those are vast improvements in terms of being able to help someone with a disability get across the street. And with the center running, you have a station in the center, so you're crossing half of Grand River, not trying to get across the whole stretch at one time.
I know Joe Ross is an East Lansing business owner here. I know Michigan State has apparently expressed concerns about BRT safety. The East Lansing News website ELI reports that Michigan State's concerned about a reduction in the number of places where pedestrians could cross Michigan and Grand River. What's your experience as an East Lansing? Do you have any relevant experience here as an East Lansing business owner with disabled people being able to access your business?
Well, when you the way the bus system is right now, I mean, it's I hear about little accidents, little fender benders all the time, because when you have that many buses going the way in the current situation that are trying to pull over and get back into traffic and merge three lanes over in East Lansing, that's a real problem. You put them down the center, and I think it's going to take that issue away. I'd encourage anybody, if you're wondering that the BRT is a good idea or a bad idea, simply Google it. That's why I came forward as just a resident supporting this thing. I mean, I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm no big fan of throwing away government, you know, spending taxpayer money. But boy, you just Google this issue and of the hundreds of BRTs throughout the world moving millions of people, there's a heck of a track record for its efficiency, for its safety.
Aren't they all larger communities, though? I mean, I hear about the BRT in Cleveland, and people say, hey, Cleveland is Cleveland. East Lansing is another matter entirely.
Well, you don't have to look all that far to find one that's in a similar size. Look at Eugene, Oregon. Once you do out the population numbers of the communities that it serves and the communities that the BRT in the capital area would serve, it's within a couple thousand, really 250,000, right around that mark for a total population served. And there you're seeing massive growth along the BRT corridor that economic studies have shown would not have occurred otherwise. Within the half mile along their BRT service, you're seeing a mass increase in rents, a big increase in development, and it's not just the, you know, arts and entertainment sector. Those are actually being pushed a little bit further off the main corridor because there's so many people who want office space and management type firms right along the corridor, because that's what millennials are wanting. They want to see these cities that are walkable and easily transit options for them to get from one end to the other.
Well, we'll move Bob Swanson and Joe Ross back into this thing, though. Isn't it true that the project would also reduce the green median space that pedestrians use in downtown East Lansing? You're laughing. That's not true. That's in circulation.
I've heard that. But when somebody is nitpicking over an area that's got a four-lane busy road, I mean, green space, does anybody get up in the morning and really think, oh, I really want to go visit that green space on Grand River?
But aesthetically, it adds a lot to Grand River Avenue, doesn't it?
But you know what? I'm so glad you brought that up. This is so much bigger than some trees and about 20 feet of a grass median. I mean, this BRT, as a business guy, what I see is not just me today. I see this as an economic engine for the future. This corridor, what it really needs is density, population density. And the seven millennials that work for me, they don't drive cars. They want a BRT. Another thing is, to get that density, you need new businesses and new places to live on that corridor. And this BRT is our best shot at that.
Something is due on September 2nd. Help our listeners get a grasp on the timeline here, Bob Swanson. What is happening on September 2nd? Why is it important?
On September 2nd, we're going to be applying for what's called a Small Starts grant from the federal government for the BRT. The importance of that is that meeting that application deadline gets us in line to be included in the president's budget for fiscal year 2018. Get to the right century here, but yeah, 2018. And that's important for the project to move forward. We believe that over the next 2 years, we'll get the answers to this, the design will be completed, and we'll be able to move forward with actual construction in that budget year. But to get into that budget year, we have to meet that September 2nd deadline.
It doesn't mean that
everything is fixed in stone at that point. There's ample time to make changes to it as we go forward.
So you expect that application to make the deadline?
Yeah,
we will
meet that. We will meet that deadline. We are also in the process of determining what additional options we're going to try and review based on the meetings we had with Meridian Township last week, based on the meetings with the disability community, other input we've received, and there may well be changes, and there's certainly room for changes beyond that.
Are there public meetings scheduled?
There will be, not at this point.
There aren't any
at this point.
No.
But we will have a public hearing on what's called the environmental assessment at the time that's completed. And that is a very key date in terms of what the plans will end up being.
We want to thank our three guests. Bob Swanson is the vice chair of the CATA Board of Directors. Sean Hammond is the founder of the grassroots organization CATS, Capital Area Transit Supporters. He's also deputy policy director at the Michigan Environmental Council. And Joe Ross is an East Lansing business owner who supports the BRT. We'll maybe have you back. We thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.